Sega's Bad Boys Podcast presents Matt Michaels, People I Don't Hate.
Yo, what up? You listening to the Vegas Bad Boys Podcast, and it's that hard-hitting, wig-splitting, rhyme-spitting, bonus-getting, RMB, get money.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here. I'm joined by Sin City Steve today, and we have with us one of the, the most talented is not even, like, justice enough. She is going to be someone, if she's not on the radar yet for you as a listener, as a viewer, get to know her work. And I say that because she is one of the most talented athletes. I'm not even going to say performer right now. I'm going to say just athletes, period, let alone performers that I've ever seen in a wrestling ring. And that is Lacey Ryan. And she's joined by a guy who just kind of is next to her, just usually. Mr. Tom Howard, who was a head trainer at UPW and is a trainer right now at FSW here in Vegas. How you guys doing today?
Good, man. You're making me blush right now. I don't even know.
It's really big. It's like
dangerously big. You might want to stop that.
Well, you know, that's, you know, one of the things that I think is very important, and I think this goes to some of the things I learned from being trained by Tom, and that is when you identify someone who has talent, you want to do two things. One, you want to encourage it. You want to help them achieve their goals. And B, you also don't want to overinflate the ego. You want to keep them, you know, grounded. So that's what I love. I love the fact that, you know, you are still so grounded, but yet so talented. And I think that that's a tribute to your personality. One of the biggest questions I have for anyone who is as talented and as passionate as you are is when you wake up in the morning and right before you go to bed at night, what motivates you every single day?
You know, wrestling has just always been my dream. I always knew that hard work is going to get me there. It's, you know, I'm very shy, you know, I'm very timid and everything. So hard work is one of the main things that I rely on. So when I wake up, it's, of course, I got to have my morning coffee as I'm drinking it right now. But wake up, go ahead and do my morning cardio for about 40 minutes, you know, come back home, eat really quick, go do some strength training, and then I do wrestling training for about 4 hours a night, maybe a little bit longer, you know, and I do it with Matt Vandegrift and Bret Hart. Sorry, I always call him my Bret.
Yeah, so I'll give my two cents. There's a level of obsession that, you know, like a balanced human being doesn't usually excel at something like athletics, because you have to be almost lack balance in order to put the time in order to become exceptional. And you can't force someone to do that, and you really can't even teach it. It has to be in her. And so that's the thing with her. She literally would go all day, every day. Like if I didn't even say something about, you know, when are you coming back after practice, she would probably stay for 6 hours. Yeah. She would, you know, that's what she does every day. That's her choice.
Yeah, he'll tell me, like, hey, I'm hungry. You need to get your butt back home. So,
That's awesome.
And really quick, before Steve, before you jump in,
yeah,
what is it about that dynamic between the two of you that really works for you guys?
Well, it's like you said, he does a really good job of keeping me grounded, which I really do love, because there are times when I get into my head and he really talks me down and everything. And there are times when I'm lazy and he pushes me to work my hardest. And, you know, he's just always been my better half. You know, he's always been there to push me through every little obstacle, you know?
Yeah, I can be a little hardcore. So when it comes to people I'm really close to, I treat them the way I treat myself, which is pretty brutal. You know, they always say you should be kind and love yourself, but I've always been pretty hard on myself. And so, you know, I have a joke going with her and Matt and Damian Drake, and I record their matches in there. And then right at the end of the video, I whisper, "You guys are shit." And then we watch it afterwards, and we all watch it as a group, and then right at the end, "You guys are the shit." So we just joke about it. I mean, everyone knows that's how you show love, but you also gotta push people. They don't need to be pushed, but that's just my personality. Yeah. She thrives on that. It's actually done in a positive fashion. Sounds like it's negative, but you know, there's a bit of a military mindset there. Like you gotta go in and outwork everyone, bottom line.
Yeah. I always jokingly tell Joe DeFalco that I will always be the hardest worker in the room, you know. That's just my personality. And then I don't want to disappoint him either.
Right.
You know, so there's that part of it as well.
Without a doubt, you know, that's key. And Tom, you have quite the track record with training, developing talent, getting them to the next level, including but definitely not limited to people like John Cena, Victoria, Chris Masters, Brian Kendrick, Paul London, Samoa Joe, many, many more. Out of the students that you are currently working with, who's somebody that stands out that has really impressed you and someone that you could see prospering at the next level?
Yeah, it's going to have to be, if I don't say her, then I'm in big trouble. So, her. No, but, you know, there's three people that go in there every day, and I'm in there most of the time with them, and that's Matt Vandegrift and Damian Drake and her. And they all show up before classes, after classes, and they just get in there and grind every single day. So, you know, it's funny because I wouldn't necessarily pick them out. The way I came up in wrestling was a bunch of 250 to 300 pound monsters. So now when I see these guys that are smaller, it's still hard for me because I still have the deal with wrestling that you have to look like it's a guy that you wouldn't want to ever fight, you know, or you see him in a bar. There's something in WWE they call the airport test. And that is when you walk through an airport, if people stop and look and say, "Who is that guy?" That's who Vince wants to hire. And I understand wrestling's different now, but I still have a little of that inside. So for me, when I see the hard work, the work ethic, the mindset, those are the three main guys that stand out, the three main people that stand out in my mind.
with that, what I remember the most about Samoa Joe, for instance, is that when he would teach a class, if you were injured or if you were outside the ring not working on something, he'd tell you, get on the stationary bike, you know, do squats, do push-ups, do sit-ups, because you were needing to basically condition yourself, not only in body but in mind, that this is what your instrument is for the business. And it always stuck on me that the harder you work, the easier it is for you to perform. Do you feel kind of that way?
100%. It is an ugly place to be in that ring when you're not in shape. Here's a funny example. You know, Martin Casals,
Marty.
He's one of my former students. He came out here from Utah, and he had a show yesterday. He hadn't wrestled in 6 months. And he's telling us how nervous he is about getting blown up. And he's getting blown up, telling us how nervous he is about getting blown up. And I'm like, there's nowhere to hide. And the real trick there is, it's funny because you either put that time in, and then you can go out and relax in the ring, or you don't put the time in, and it's a nightmare being in there for 20, 30 minutes and getting blown up and not being able to perform. And then all you have is regrets at the end, man. And it's like, that's just misery. Because every time you look back and go, why didn't my career do what it should have done? Well, probably because I didn't put that time in. Probably because I didn't come in shape. Probably because I, you know, wasn't eating right, whatever it is. And so if you just cover those bases, then you can pretty much relax, because everything else there, it's just letting your body do what it's supposed to do.
And, you know, following up a little bit on that, Lacey, I have a very intriguing question to me, because when I started wrestling, I came at it from the perspective of a guy who had been acting since I was 5 years old. So my goal was to learn the aspects of wrestling so that I could learn the psychology, learn the physicality, and realize, hey, I'm not that much of an athlete, so, you know, I'm, you know, going to back off of it. But for you, you've got all the athletics done, but you're, like you said, a shy person. How is the transition of magnifying your persona into the ring as compared to being quiet when you're just yourself at home?
Well, you know, I think that comes into having an alter ego of something that you've always wanted to be. You know, I don't have the experience of acting or anything like that. I have several people in my family who do. I just never personally took up in that. I've always been very interested in sports and just that. So when I am in that ring, the reason why I did my hair and my makeup now is that way I could get into that persona of Lacey Ryan and feeling more comfortable. You know, he was saying, don't even do your makeup. It's just going to be a regular podcast. And it's like, oh, well, no, I need to be Lacey Ryan in this moment. You know, so it's taken a while. But when I get dressed up, when I put on my gear and everything else, then I get into a whole nother mentality of, okay, this is what I was meant to do. It's time to perform, and it's time to get outside of my comfort zone. And that's another great thing about Tom. He's always pushing me outside of my comfort zone, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Matt, because you understand this from actors. There's a certain amount of actors who are outgoing, but I'd say the bulk of them tend to be introverts and shy people, and then they understand how to turn on these characters. And so I've seen that transition with her to the point where I watch her in the ring now, and I'm like, I don't even recognize that person because it's such a outside of her normal realm. And, you know, it takes time to get comfortable. And that's, you know, right now, wrestling-wise, I'd put her up there with anyone. You know, I always say her and Tessa are the two best women wrestlers in the world. I would challenge anyone to prove me wrong. And then I think we're kind of fortunate now that wrestling's sort of gone away from 20-minute promos where you got to go out there and have, you know, Triple H come out and go back and forth for the ring for 20 minutes. It's like, first of all, it was just brutal to watch. And secondly, it's just not her forte. Yeah. So it's like, thank God they've gotten away from those silly, you know, cheesy promos.
Without a doubt. Yeah, I mean, that's huge. Now, Lacey, you've appeared and you've had some pretty standout performances on Impact Wrestling over the last couple of years. How was your experience working for Impact? And could we see you there more frequently?
You know, I love working Impact every single time I do it. I wish I could give you an answer as far as when I will be back there, but I would love nothing more to be back there as soon as they're able to allow more people to come over there, you know what I mean? But I wish I had a, you know, more set answer for that one. Yeah, it would be my dream to be with them, you know, with them or AEW or anybody like that.
Well, we have a good situation in that D'Lo obviously works for the company, and he's one of our trainers as well. So he's been kind enough to actually work with Lacey one-on-one, and, you know, literally goes into does spots, and he breaks them down and says, this is sort of fixed this. So you can't beat that. And then she's developed a good relationship with Gail Kim, who's, you know, in the office as well. So I guess the question with that company, they've been very kind to her with what they've done. I guess the question is, you know, whether they're going to be running enough shows to keep someone busy, or if it makes more sense to go to an AEW. I think, as we've discussed, AEW seems to be, just because of our relationships and everything else, and the fact that it's only one day of work a week, and you don't move to Florida where it's like, you know, 100 degrees with 100% humidity.
Yeah.
So it's pretty appealing right now to think AEW.
And, you know, and that the coolest thing about that is, man, how did Chris Daniels get hooked up with that gig, man? You know,
you know Chris forever though, man.
Yeah.
He's always been, you know, it's funny because JR always said it was the hardest job he ever had, talent relations, because yep. You know, you get to do a couple of fun things and a lot of really shitty things. But if you know Chris, you know, he's always kind of been that guy. Remember him backstage? You know, he was kind of running stuff for us at UPW. So he's always been that guy. He's just a sharp guy.
Yeah.
And so we had some communication with him recently, and you know, everything looks good.
Yeah, that's great to hear, because that's the other thing that I think that, you know, when you're talking about guys like Chris and yourself, you know, we're talking now that we're getting into the 50s, and it's great to see you guys rediscovering yourselves and rediscovering your passion for the business. And I think that that's something that's important. Do you feel, Lacey, that when you first met Tom to where he is now, do you see a little bit of that desire coming back?
A little bit. Yeah, it depends on the day and how he's feeling. But there are definitely times when he's really motivated and really wanting to go and help the boys and I out. And there's been times when he just feels like staying away from it all. Wrestling is very hard, you know?
Yeah.
So, but as lately, he's been really wanting to come to training and getting more passionate about it. But I also think it's because I'm forcing it down his throat all the time. You know, I'm watching it 24/7. I'm going to wrestling, working out all just for wrestling. So I think that also has a big part of it. But I'm seeing passion come back for him.
Yeah, so I mean, the very simple aspect is being able to live vicariously. At a certain point for me, I was wrestling in Japan. I had kind of taken it as far as it was going to go. I switched over to K1. They gave me a 2-year contract that was really good money. So I did the fighting, got my brains bashed in, and then pretty much said, it's pretty much time to go. So that you don't become Randy the Ram signing autographs, you know, God knows where. And especially a guy who was never really big on American TV anyway. So it's like, yeah. It's just not pretty at that point. So at that point, you have to sort of gracefully figure out a way to back away. Now, with her, it was 8 years ago, but we've been together ever since. We started out in Utah, and it was a funny situation. The people in Japan had were interested in having my son, who's a big guy, played football in Arizona, a little bigger than me, actually. They were interested in having us come to a tag team. So I lived in Utah at the time, and so we said, let's go find a pro wrestling school. So we walk into this pro wrestling school, and there's Lacey Ryan and Martin and all these people in Utah. And funny story, tell that part of the story. Just the videos, the fact that they had all watched.
Oh, yeah. So in UPW, there was only one school, Ultra Championship Wrestling. I actually moved down from California to Utah with my mom. And as soon as I graduated high school, I was like, all right, it's time to go chase my dream. And my mom said, as long as you're going to college or you're working, do whatever you want. But it's time to start adulting, you know, so found UCW, and that's where I met Martin, which Marty the Moth was actually one of my first trainers. And it's funny how life is like a full circle, you know, because Marty the Moth and a guy named Derek Jannetty, they watched Tom's video. They studied him, and that's how they learned wrestling, you know. So they were teaching me how to do it that way because of Tom, and we were just talking about it this weekend that – in all reality, Tom was the one really training me because they were trained by Tom. So it's like, oh, it's cool how things work out that way.
Those goofy videos they sold at Walmart where they were teaching John Cena and Samoa Joe. You know, the funny part about those videos, most of those guys were really good. Like Frankie Zarian and Chris Daniels, they were way better than me. You know, I just happened to be in the head position role. So people were like, oh, you trained all those guys. I was like, I really didn't hardly train any of them. They were all pretty good. You know, you could see like Samoa Joe and John Cena weren't good. They were green, but they've taken it where they needed to be. But it was very funny walking in that situation and then them saying, oh yeah, we watched your videos and that's how we learned to wrestle. And I said, wow. Because that gives you, you know, as much as you kind of get burned out of wrestling, you're like, oh, time to move on. All of a sudden you're like, wow, I made an impact. And it's oftentimes in life when you least expect it is when you make the biggest impact. It's when, you know, when you're trying, things don't so much happen, but it just happens, and you look back and go, oh wow, that was the big thing that somehow was a big life-changing moment, making this cheesy video series of training pro wrestling.
Yeah, and even still at FSW, when we get new students, they see him and they start fanboying and everything. That's weird. They know who he is, man, because of those DVDs.
Yeah, it's such a strange thing. I still even get it at WWE or the other places when I go backstage. People would come up and mention it, and they'd be like, I can't tell you how many times I've watched those damn videos. And I was like, wow, it's a time they were actually hated on by Cornette and a lot of people. The WWE gave us permission to do it because we were a development territory, but they were still somewhat kayfabe. Yep. It was weird because Vince had already come out and said wrestling wasn't real, but then we had the leftover kayfabe element where it's like, oh, you're destroying the business, and you know, it's like, okay, tell me when I could do this officially, you know, because at some point you're like, okay, we understand this is theater, and so we want to understand how to teach people to be the best they can be instead of playing this game where it's like you gotta find someone who will let you come in and learn the secret handshake and you know, it's just so wrestling was so weird back in the day, and now it's become healthy.
I actually watched those movies as well on YouTube when I was in high school. I actually wanted to go down to UPW. But by the time I was ready to wrestle or allowed to wrestle technically, you know, UPW was, you know, sadly gone at that point.
Yeah.
And now, Tom, obviously, I mean, you've done your fair share of acting, stunt work, even training actors in need of wrestling training. You even trained Jack Black in preparation for his role as Nacho Libre. What was that experience like?
It was pretty awesome. Two things. Number one, he came in and literally wanted to be taught from the ground up.
That's awesome.
And so a lot of times we deal with actors, I've done it enough to where we look for the shortcut because we know that the guy's going to, we only really have about 20, 30 hours of actually time with him in order to get this skill set done. He gave us, he made sure he had a couple months. He'd come in a couple, 2-3 days a week to the Inoki Dojo in LA. And it was interesting because you expect when, you know, Jack Black, I'm going to sit there and laugh the whole time. So I go up and say hello to him, introduce myself when we're talking. And I noticed that he's very much like, yes, sir, no, sir. And I'm like, oh God, this is going to mess me up here because I'm thinking I'm going to be laughing and telling jokes. And instead he's literally doing, but then it dawned on me, wow, he's an ultimate professional. And when he's in that mode, you know, you show up and you say yes or no, so that's how it works, which was amazing. He did much better than I ever thought. And it was just a phenomenal experience. Yeah, very good experience.
Very cool. Very cool. And now, Lacey, do you have, you had mentioned that you had people in your family that had done some work in the past. Do you have any desire to get into acting or stunt work at some point?
Yes, I would actually really love to get into stunt doubling. That's one thing that we've been talking about. I think that's definitely on my goals. The one thing I do want to start doing is taking some acting classes, just get more comfortable with that. Hopefully we can take those together. Yeah. You know, because he wants to get into acting as well. So
it's awesome.
It's a big goal of mine. And, you know, it's going to help me in wrestling, you know. So
you still have to have some goal out there. So for me, it's like I'll be a bad guy in a J-Pond movie before I die. Because you can do that until you're like, I can look like super old and super bloated and still look like weird enough to where you're like, I think that's a bad guy. That's the myth. And then I can die peacefully after I've made that one happen.
Well, you know what? Anytime you guys want to do any kind of studying or whatever, just hit me up. Absolutely.
We're neighbors, right?
Pretty much.
We're neighbors. We're in the Seven Hills.
Yeah. The thing is that, like I said, I've been doing it since I was five. But what I really found is that when I have been around, Jeff Corey was his name. He was someone who was blacklisted back in the 1950s for allegedly being a communist. And he came to our college, and the teachers were all thrilled to have our senior acting class, one of our classes, perform monologues that we had done for auditions you know, to me it was like, oh, this is just bullshit. You know, this is them to brag off on their actors they want to, they think are something. And sure. They start doing their, you know, monologue. He's given notes. I get up there. I'm the last guy. I purposely always usually save myself for last because that gives me a chance to watch everyone else. And yeah. And then when I go in and I do it, I finish the monologue. He looks and he goes, and that's how you do it. That's it. Nice. I saw the faces of these people who, you know, were acting, supposed to be acting teachers and acting coaches. You're paying for that. And their faces just went totally gray because the guy who was the radical, the person who, you know, thought he knew it all in their eyes was the one who was told, that's how you do it.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's funny. Same thing with wrestling. It's undeniable. And there's an energy. We talk a lot about harnessing energy. And there's a pace to a match. You know, there's no fast without slow. And the match has to tell a story. And within the realms of that story, there's a pace that you want to keep. Because you can't keep people up the entire time. So we talk about this in detail all the time. And when someone's undeniable, be it acting, and they have that skill, or when she gets to the ring and she hits a few moves and stops and pauses and looks at the audience, it's like, oh, undeniable. And you teach so many people that, and you're like, it just doesn't translate. I hate to say you either have it or you don't, but I don't think she necessarily had it, but she's put so much time in that now it's completely undeniable to the point where, you know, we've been in many situations and she's no longer nervous about going to do a match wherever. It's just like, just give me a shot with anyone, male or female, and she'll go out and smoke them. You know what I mean? That's her thing. That's what she knows how to do. And it's the same thing, I guess, you've somehow found with acting.
Yeah, and you know what? That's a valid point, too, that, you know, if I looked like Tom Cruise, well, shit, I should have all the confidence in the world that people are going to want to cast you and use you, right? But because I am who I am, I had to come to terms with that early on and realize that I'm not going to be A, I'm going to be B. And you know what? I'm going to be the best fucking B I can be. You know?
Yeah, I can be.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And that's what I see. You know, what I love about watching you work, Lacey, is the fact that, and this is the same thing. When I saw Damian Drake work, one of the first things I told him is the reason I gravitated to him and the reason I gravitated to you, Lacey, is because you do little fucking things that people don't take the thought process or effort to do. And that allows A, audience engagement, and B, yes, you're giving something to your partner. You are literally handing them something. And it's like, have you found just the joy in discovering when you have a live audience? I know it's so much harder with no one around and just doing, you know, smaller practice matches and stuff. But finding that feeling in front of the audience now of, hey, now we can kind of improv it a little bit. We can play off this a little more.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing Matt Vandegrift and Damian Drake and I, we all work on, is one, calling on the fly. But the other thing is really focusing on facials and everything like that, so that way the crowd can really connect with you. For me, when I'm in the wrestling ring, it's 100% real. I take it so seriously. It's my life. It's the number one thing I've always wanted to do. And so when I'm in there, it's completely real. And when I wrestled Tessa Blanchard, she taught me so much in that match. And it's just with the timing, like, I don't know if I could break kayfabe right now, but, you know, after a pin, one, two, kick out, like, hey, slow the F down really quick. It's like, oh, that's so refreshing. You know, everybody's so quick, like, next thing, next thing, next thing.
Yep.
You just take your time, relax. So just sitting there catching my breath and then watching her facial expression, things like that, that's when it clicked. Like, oh, that's what I need to work on to get to that next level. Yeah. So during quarantine and everything like that, that's all I've been focusing on. Because I want to be as good, if not better, than Tessa Blanchard. I want to be the greatest. Yep. You know, that's my goal. So after wrestling her, it taught me so much.
Yeah, there's an expression, iron sharpens iron. And she had wrestled a lot of people, but she never really had the chance to wrestle with someone at that level. And since then, Tessa and her have become great friends. We're going for her wedding this Friday in Tijuana, of all places. but yeah, it's funny how that works, you know, where, and I know it's some crazy stuff about her reputation that she was a bully or something. I've never seen a kinder, nicer person who's nice to everyone. That's a bunch of BS. That is, I mean, I'm telling you, utter BS. But as far as someone that we met at a show, she had a match with, was the most giving, kind person.
What a bug.
Went above and beyond. Yeah. And since then, you know, literally they talk on a daily basis. It's like, wow, man, she's in a tribute to the wrestling. And that's what Teresa is as well. When she says, I believe it 100%, when they get out there, it is 100%. In their mind, almost to the death. That's how you're feeling. That's how you're thinking. That's how you act. And so you can see it. And these people, and the same thing with Matt and Brett, they have the artist mentality. If you think about wrestling not as an opportunity, not as a paycheck, but this is my art, and I'm going to make this art. Now with digital media, we have the ability to have everything end up on video, film, whatever it is. So every match that you have is your next masterpiece. And so that's how they view it. And you can see it. They're not trying to get through anything. They're not trying to cut any corners. They're trying to make the best Mona Lisa they can make.
Without a doubt. And, you know, Lacey, you have been extremely active on social media during quarantine. I mean, you've been posting clips and, you know, clips of training, trying out new moves. What all things and skills have you picked up during the quarantine?
Definitely a lot more moves. I've been practicing more flips and stuff, you know, so that's always exciting. Can't seem to get a backflip, though. I always go a little cockeyed on that. Front flip, no problem.
We practiced in the pool, and she still goes sideways. And I'm like, it's water. You're not going to hurt yourself.
But other than just, I've been having Allison Danger come and help me a lot, and cheerleader Melissa as well. And it's just been a lot of facial, you know, a lot of the acting skills that I've been needing to pick up on, as well as Sim Bodhi. Sim Bodhi's been helping out a lot with just psychology in general, you know. So those are the main things that we've been really focusing on. Because I don't need to work on the athleticism anymore. I feel like I got that down pretty good. It's the psychology part, it's the facial, it's really making sure the crowd registers with everything that I'm feeling in that moment.
Do you think...
Yeah, if you watch their training, I jokingly say it's like Cirque du Soleil because they make it very pretty. They do drills, they take each other to the next level. I mean, they're working at as high a level as you can work. If you go back and look at Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit, the people that we idolize for their work, and you watch, it's like that same level that they're doing. The thing they're lacking is the iron versus iron matches, as I mentioned, where you get in there and you get to go night after night after night with a super high-level person to be put on the spot. And, you know, that only comes from time and being on the road. And, you know, it's questionable if you can even repeat that at this point because there's no one on the road 300 days out of the year like they were. It's probably much healthier because you no longer have all the crazy lifestyle and the travel schedule. But, you know, that also forged these amazing wrestlers and athletes. So, interesting.
Well, and it's also a testament talking about character in general. You know, Eddie doesn't become Eddie Guerrero if he didn't have those demons. He brought those demons to light, and when he was past them, he was able to use that to elevate himself to a point that he made it. He literally became a Hall of Famer in about a 2 to 3 year period.
Yeah.
And then he died. Yeah. And it's amazing. Yeah. do you think you see in what you're experiencing now, do you see yourself being able to look at what makes Teresa tick and what makes Lacey tick and see not only the differences, but that joining point where Teresa and Lacey come to the closest point, you know, without one going over the other one?
No,
I'm not going to talk about myself in that way. I would actually like to hear your perspective on that.
Well, hey, I'm going to jump in real quick. Funny story about Lacey Ryan. We're not a fan of the name. She does not look like a Lacey or a...
Yeah.
You know, it's just very bizarre. I'll just jump in real quick because it's fascinating when you go, now, it's not about Lacey. And it's like, oh, and that's what they told me my name was. She had been training in Utah. And, you know, she's there. She has her gear. And they say, hey, we're going to put you in a match. And she's like, I don't even have a name yet. And so, like, they literally spitball. And someone goes, Lacey. And then Lacey Ryan, like Jack Ryan or something. I don't know, Lacey Ryan.
Yeah.
This is before Joey Ryan was around, really, because, well,
No, but
he wasn't like a name guy. He was still like,
he
wasn't a dick with people back then.
Yeah,
I think, 8 years ago.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we were joking about it because she's been trying to change the name ever since. But now that she's gotten to be known with the name, it's like, I'm pretty sure with Lacey Evans, I believe her name.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that
she's a little bit too confused.
Yeah, she had several people actually call her Lacey Evans, and I was like, okay, babe, you've got the idea. Time to change the name. But, you know, I don't think it makes any sense if she starts either with WWE or with AEW to use a Lacey name.
Yeah.
So we had been talking about actually the new name.
Zoe Serrano.
Her real last name is Serrano, which is also a very hot pepper, I might add.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we just like the name Zoe because it's kind of interesting, cool name. So that's what we've been pushing for a while. But quite frankly, you know as well as I do, the company that she signs with will pretty much
change it. Yeah.
Especially AEW brings in people as they are, but also the thing people are mentioning with AEW is they need to get some homegrown talents.
Yeah.
Because right now it's bringing in the best of the indie guys or whatever, some of the ex-WWE guys. It's like, they need to, well, like let's say a MJF or something, that's like a homegrown talent. Yeah. The more guys they get like that, they really develop is you know, makes them more powerful. So, oh, so anyway, that's a very long my long way to get back and say the answer, in my opinion, Lacey Ryan, the wrestler, and Teresa Serrano are the exact same person. She's very... very dedicated, very hardworking, does not like bullies. You probably don't want to mess with her. She grew up in a rough part of town out in San Bernardino. And, you know, the house had bars on the windows and you know, used to have, you know, weird stuff happen as she's like going to school, you know, guys pulling up in cars and stuff. So she grew up with a chip on her shoulder. You know,
I didn't have bars on the window.
Okay, you told me that. Is that what?
No, there was security. Yeah, we had security. We kept our doors locked. It was not a safe area at all. It was by your old school.
Yeah. It's where school Hard Knocks, Jesse Hernandez.
Yeah, Jesse School, yeah.
If anybody knows that area, I was down by K Street. It's a pretty rough area, and it's gotten worse since. It was one of those things where I would have to go ask my dad, hey, can I run literally right across the street to the corner store to go grab some snacks and be like, yeah, you got to take your brother with you, you know, or he would stand outside and watch like, okay, my daughter's safe and now she's coming back. It's just one of those things where we were very careful, you know, but
I'm exaggerating. It's not your story if I make it sound like it's all, you know, nerfed. But so, like, when you see Michelle Rodriguez in movies, the role she plays, kind of like just a tough girl, don't mess with me. That's like real life her. Nice as could be, but that's, if I had to say a character, that's exactly who she is in real life. And that's who comes out in the wrestling.
Yeah, that's what I attribute to a lot of things. I've always looked up to people like that, you know? Especially somebody, like my mom's like that.
Yeah.
You know, she grew up in Long Beach, the same attitude. So we jokingly say I have the resting bee face, you know? So I really got to focus on smiling and everything like that, but it also comes from I guess, protecting myself in a way.
Yeah. It's a, you put that face on, like, don't mess with me face.
Yep. No, you're 100% right. And I, you know, growing up as a kid, that's so funny you say that, because I did the same thing. I, because I knew how to mat wrestle, I would walk home and, you know, I'd have that look on my face, like, if you fuck with me, I'm crazier than you, you know?
Yeah. The hard thing to break too, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And then the worst part about it is when people constantly ask you or assume something is wrong or that you are an angry person.
Like, I know, I promise you, I'm very sweet, you know, but I'm also going to make sure that I can trust you first.
Yeah.
So.
Steve, you want to chime in on this one question I think is really pretty fascinating. I think this is a great question.
Yeah, so a question that I have actually for both of you guys. If you were able to do so, what is the biggest piece of advice that you could give to your younger selves?
Oh.
You want me to start?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah, just because I'm older than dirt, so for me it's easy. So I've always been very kind and loving person. I was raised Mormon, and you know, it's been ingrained since I was a very young kid. The problem is, I'd say I've been particularly hard on myself. So I would say, show yourself the love that you show other people. That's number one. With that comes the peace and serenity of knowing that everything will be just fine. And then the third is just, I'm always living the moment. I mean, really in the moment. Like, you know, if I died tonight, it was a hell of a run. Die tomorrow morning, it was even better. You know, like, we're all on borrowed time. If I could go back and say, hey, you know, put in the extra time. Don't so much live like tonight's the last night of your life. You know, that's probably some advice I would give. That's not, like I said, you see guys like John Cena come into business and you go, what exactly did he have? Well, I can tell you, the intangible it, but he had a work ethic that was sick, and he still does. And, you know, you said to yourself, if I could apply that work ethic with the tools I had, where could have I gone in wrestling, you know? So that would be the basic things for me.
For me, probably don't take things so seriously. I think the one thing was for me is to make sure, I gave my dad a very hard time growing up. And that's one thing I really kind of, I would tell myself now to not do that. He's just trying to do his best, you know, as every parent does. You know, my dad was one of those guys where, so I moved around a lot. You know, I lived all over the Inland Empire, and my parents broke up when I was about 12. So my mom moved down to Utah. My dad stayed in California. My brother and I moved back and forth from Utah to California so many times I lost count. And we finally ended up in San Bernardino. I wanted to go to school with my best friend in Corona. So if anybody knows San Bernardino to Corona, it's, I don't know, an hour and a half, right?
Yeah.
So he would wake up at 3 a.m., get dressed, wake me up at 4 a.m., take my butt to my friend's house down in Corona. Down to Corona. And so I could go to school. He would drive all the way back towards San Bernardino just to go to work for 8 hours and then drive all the way back to Corona to come back home. My dad worked very hard, and I don't think I've really given him.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so I would definitely tell myself, my younger self, to relax, enjoy life, and don't give your parents such a hard time. I feel really bad about that. I think about it often.
You know, as we kind of wrap up here, do you, Tom, see in that work ethic that you just talked about with Cena? It's funny you say that, because anyone who's asked me, I've always said that you know, while we were going home, you know, John would go downstairs in the basement and lift weights, or, you know, he was always doing something that would be the next step to getting him to the next level.
Yeah.
Do you see in Lacey, Teresa, that work ethic and that desire that you saw in John? Because it's rare. There's only a handful of people who have it. And I think, and in Matt and Damian, I see it as well, that there is something that is a fire, I guess, is the best way to put it. That even if you, like a birthday cake with fake candles, you know, those that you blow out, but the flame just keeps coming back. Do you see that in their ethic and what they're striving towards?
Yeah. So it's fascinating because if you watch, people who watch Lacey now, you see her and she looks almost like she's getting ready for a bodybuilding contest. She was not, that's not her natural, you know, she was, when I first met her, she was, I don't want to say pudgy, but what would you say? Not in great shape. She,
I've always been on the chubby side.
Yeah, if you watch her do kicks now, you think that she's, you know, damn Bruce Lee. Well, when I first met her, she could not kick if her life depended on it. She had really shitty kicks, and I let her know all the time. The same thing with the high flying. She was afraid to go to the top rope. I mean, we did it a few times, but so every single thing that she's now become that you go, wow, that's all created. That's all. And it's me pushing her, but really her pushing herself. So yeah, when you talk about someone else like a Kurt Angle, for example, I was in the, it's called the Funking Dojo at Stamford, Connecticut. It was, they brought in the Hardy Boys, Edge, Christian, a bunch of these, The Rock was the one before me. So they have these camps where they're getting ready to start guys on TV. And so that's the first time I met Kurt Angle, and he, I ended up doing dark matches with him for like a year. So we had to do our daily workouts in the ring and at the gym. And it was brutal. And most people had trouble getting through it. And he would show up 2 hours before and do cardio, full force 2 hours every day. And I heard about it from everyone there, and I see it. And I realized he wasn't doing it because he wanted to be better. He was geared that way, and he had to keep himself in that mindset. Strangely with him, it showed later when he got into the problems with addiction that same, those demons come out. It's energy. So, you know, the big thing with someone like Teresa, she has the energy, she has the work ethic. Try to keep a little bit of balance there and try to keep it healthy is the number one thing, because, you know, if you lose complete balance and you lose the healthy mindset, then you're fighting an uphill battle. And that's something John was particularly, and back in the day, Kurt, just two guys that I happened to spend a lot of time with, neither, you know, they didn't party. They were both like straight shooters, just put in the work. You know, you got 24 hours in a day, and you if today's gonna be your masterpiece, what are you gonna do that day? And all you gotta do is look at it that day, and then tomorrow will be my next masterpiece, and tomorrow's the next one. So if you have that mindset, then like someone like her, she doesn't have to work at it. But I've seen other people try to force it, you know, round peg, square hole. So I guess I can't say that you could force someone to do that. If you happen to have the tools and it happens to be right, then it will work out that way. So I guess it's a broad answer to your question.
I will say, I think I have to attribute that hard work to not only you, but my parents as well. Yeah. You know, my mom had 2 to 3 jobs for as long as I can remember, my dad working long hours and long days, and they were the ones that really told me that you never quit, you keep going, you keep pushing through.
Very know? True.
So that's part of the reason why I'm using the Unstoppable Lacey brand as well, you know. You just got to keep working. Just because you don't get it the first time doesn't mean anything. You keep at it, you put your mind to it, you'll actually be able to accomplish a lot of things.
Yeah, we had, it's interesting as well, you know, maybe like a year ago, we had different people that were interested in having her start up and do some things, and she would have already been on TV. And so, and then things changed with the COVID and everything. And so you're kind of like, oh man, this sucks. When's it going to happen? But then we look back and said, look what you've done in 6 months or a year with your body, with your work. And now just say, let's say it doesn't happen for 6 more months or another year or 2 years, whatever it is. Imagine how far you'll be then. Because, you know, you only get that first that one chance to make that first impression, especially on the TV world. So, you know, for me, every time you train, every time you're in the gym, it's putting money in the bank.
Yeah.
And so that's it. You know, right now she's got a pretty fat bank account.
Well, we're going to wrap it up here for now. We'll definitely, you know, obviously have you back, you know, to hopefully when there's actual things going on, you know.
Yeah,
right.
You know, I think everyone's frustrated, but at the same point, I think if you're a listener, please go out and look up, you know, Lacey's work. Especially, I encourage this. God, I can't state this enough. If you are either a young woman yourself who wants to get into wrestling and hasn't had the chance, or if you have a daughter who adores wrestling, you can see it in her eyes, expose her to Lacey's work, because it's an inspirational thing for young kids to see someone that they can relate to in their own eyes. And I think that this is so important, because right now, as you're creating your future, someone else's future is going to be influenced by you. And I can't wait to see that happen. And Tom, of course, you're one of the dearest people that in my heart. And Lacey,
thank you, brother.
Yeah, Lacey, I get kind of choked up, because when I think of good people and people that I love in this business, it's so hard to pinpoint, you know, the good people as compared to just, you know, Tom, you know.
I do. We're still waiting for that barbecue invite, though. I'm starting to wonder if you just didn't love us anymore.
It's going to happen at some point. I just, you know what, with COVID and everything, being that my parents are on the higher end of...
Yeah, true.
It's like... I'm telling you, man, it's sad when you see your parents have friends and they have like game nights or, you know, get together for cocktails or something like, and then they can't do this, you know. Yeah. Us, we can still catch up in public and stuff or whatever, or hang out at a house, or, you know, we're young enough. We're not really too worried about it. But, you know, when you think about, man, it's, God, let's just hope this just gets under control, and then we can start going back to our normal way of life, because I miss it. And I know you guys, you know, being performers, man, it's got to be just itching at you to get back out there in front of a crowd.
Oh, yeah. It's been a little rough on that side. I definitely miss performing in front of people, you know.
This week, she's got a couple of cool things. I'll throw it out there, because you might as well. She's going to film the WWE 2K, whatever, wrestling video. That's coming up, I believe, next week. And then we have Tessa's wedding on Friday, and then we have Championship Wrestling from Hollywood on Saturday. So we're hustling. It's nice because you get to still feel like you're a part of it all, just little bits at a time.
Yeah. And so is Navajo on? Navajo Warrior, is Steve on the 2K this year?
No.
I'm not sure what. I know he works in the video game sector, but they picture it from someone else. The guy Eric Watts actually referred her.
Oh, Watts,
man version. Yeah, you know Eric, good dude.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. That's great to hear. Well, you know, on behalf of all of us here at Vegas Bad Boys, again, thank you everyone for listening to our interview with Tom and Lacey Ryan. And please, you know, subscribe, download, listen to us, share, review, everything you can do to support us. You know, I think a good term is what everyone kind of thinks, that, oh, you're out to do this to make money. No, we don't. We want people to discover and learn. Yep. So, all right, everyone.
It's sharing. It's storytelling. I mean, you get to do the same thing we do in a wrestling ring. You guys get to tell stories, and it's magical. I'm a big fan. I'm glad to see. I mentioned that before, but I'm really glad to see that you've done this and taken this level you have. And anything we can do to help.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. Awesome. Thank you. All right, everyone. Until the next time we talk, have a great day. And remember, whatever you can do to improve yourself day by day, that's all you can do. Have a great day.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.